Tonight, we're going to be dropping by Psalm 92, and I want to share a message entitled, or a teaching, if you will, entitled, Fresh and Flourishing. That's inviting, right? And there's a reason for the picture of the palm tree, and you'll see that before we're finished tonight. Fresh and flourishing. It's such a beautiful expression right out of Psalm chapter 92. When we get down to about verse 14, we'll see that. Some of the guys here during VBS today, we were talking about the way that how people wake up differently and start their day differently. And to kind of boil it down to a quick summary is you know, you probably either wake up spry or sluggish, right? Some people, when they wake up, their eyes pop open, they're ready, wide open for the day. And that's kind of how I wake up. And unfortunately, if I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning like that, it's off to the races, you know, and it's like, Lord, please help me, stop my mind. And it's other people, they need to wake up several times before they get awake, right? You know, wake up, snooze, and then finally get going. Well, in our walk with the Lord, if we're honest, there are times when we're spry, right? We're rolling. We're in our wheelhouse. We're in the lane we need to be in. And there are other times when we may be struggling or sluggish and we can't get things moving in the right direction. And so that's where this phrase, fresh and flourishing, is so encouraging. As we have God's Word promising us that we can have this fresh and flourishing operating in our lives. As a matter of fact, we're going to see here in just a moment in Psalm 92, it even gives us some keys about how to start our day and how to end our day. So this is more of a teaching tonight. We're going to work through these scriptures. But let's begin now. Let's look at the Word. We'll begin in Psalm 92, verse 1. I'm going to read through verses 4 here. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Now, the book of Psalms is kind of the song book of the Old Testament. And as Andrew mentioned earlier, that the Scripture calls us to be filled with the Spirit, you know, with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. So even in the early church, New Testament church, they would often sing the Psalms. And so here in the Psalms, in a song, if you will, we're told to sing. So out of these four verses, there's so much there, but let me call your attention to three things out of this set of verses. There's three things to do that we can kind of prime the pump. And as we work through this, we're going to see when we get to the end, he talks about a palm tree, and he talks about a cedar tree, and he talks about, he uses those as metaphors concerning our lives, how we're to be planted. And so just like that palm tree is anchored there in the sand and draws the nourishment so that it can feed its branches and have its green palm branches and so forth, in our lives there are some things we can do to kind of prime the pump. And these verses contain at least three things that I want to point out quickly. The first one is, he begins with, it's good to give thanks. So give thanks. Giving thanks is something that will help you to experience this refreshing and flourishing in your life, to prime the pump for you to be able to live life in the way that God created you to live. And I mention this very often because it's very, very important. All through the Scriptures, we are called to give thanks to the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? I say Walmart? No. Amazon? No. Now, from the Father, every good. If it's good and it's touching and blessing your life, you give God the glory for it, because that's the point of origin. And there's something about being grateful that helps us to be more immune to complaining. It's hard to grumble with gratitude. Right? Those don't fit together. So giving thanks is very important in order for us to flourish. Okay? Another thing is to sing praises. Look at that. And to sing praises to your name in verse 1 there. Oh, Most High. So giving thanks and singing praises. I just mentioned Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit, giving, you know, singing to yourself psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In the New Testament, we are clearly taught that when we begin to sing, that there is also a filling of God's Spirit that can occur because we're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, our focus of our heart is on the Lord, and we're singing praise to Him. We're giving thanks to Him. We're called in the Old Testament to enter into His presence through His gates with thanksgivings, into His courts with praise. And we see that sequence here. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. And so it would suit us well to follow suit here and to give thanks and to sing praises to the Lord. Now, the third thing I want you to notice, it concerns making declarations. That's important. That will help you get your heart and your mind in alignment and to live it with that fresh and flourishing component that we're taught here in the book of Psalms. Notice what he says in verse 2. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So think of it this way. He gives us two tips, if you will, that will help us to declare God's loving kindness in the morning. So that tells me that when I wake up, one thing that I can do that will help me and that God calls me to do is to declare, God, your loving kindness surrounds my life. You are a loving God. You are a kind God. My life is surrounded by your loving kindness. This day is going to be marked with the loving kindness of my God manifesting to my life, in my life, and through my life. I'm declaring your loving kindness over my life today, and I want to manifest that to everybody that I come in contact with. Now, what you're doing is you're setting your sights on a day where God's loving kindness can manifest in your life. You are beginning by getting it in your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with this, and then you are speaking it out your mouth. In the morning, I will declare your loving kindness. Then when nighttime comes, if you live each day saying, you know, God loves me, He's kind to me, I'm going to love Him, and His love's going to be in my life, and I'm going to be kind to people, what's going to happen? You are sowing the seeds of loving kindness throughout the day, and then at night when you go to bed, Lord, you've done it again. You're faithful, because He says, and your faithfulness every night. You can begin today declaring who you expect God to be in your life, and what you expect to see in your life. And you can end the day by thanking God, you've been faithful. You honored your word in my life today. Lord, I declared, knowing you were loving and kind, and I've experienced that day, you are faithful. You are good. So you begin your day with this one declaration and end your day with a different declaration, but they fit together. So much more could be said here, but I just think this is so cool that He lays this out for us. And then going back to the singing praises, He talks about, you know, some instruments there. You know, this is another place in Scripture where we're clearly told that the Lord loves for us to use musical instruments to praise Him. And, well, how do we know that? Well, in Ephesians 5:18, the third time that I'm quoting this, and be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, a psalm would be one like Psalm 92. And so that means, okay, Lord, then Old Testament and New Testament, okay, I'm going to declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night, and I may pick up my guitar, and I'll just sing some. Maybe I'll sing about your loving kindness. I'll sing about your faith. I'll sing how great is our God. And I don't have a 10 string. And I had Butte had to straighten me out on what a lute is. I mean, I thought I was wise enough to know that lute, that's so close to flute, it must be something like a flute. But it's actually more like a guitar. So when it says on the lute, it's not O-W-N the lute, like on the money. Okay. No, he wants to be praised on the instrument called the lute and on the harp. The Lord loves that stringed instrumentation. And the psalmist knew that. And Paul knew it when he wrote Ephesians chapter 5. You know, the Lord didn't change his mind about what pleases him in worship after all the approximately 2,000 years that, 2,500 years that preceded the New Testament era or so. Maybe like 4,000 years, excuse me. He says, and by the way, he did say with harmonious sound. So it helps if you have some skill on it. Just throwing that in. Okay. I tried to play the guitar like my sons can. All three of them are guitarists, but I tried to play. As a matter of fact, I brag about this. I taught Andrew everything I know about playing the guitar. That's the truth. Before the Lord, I taught him everything I know about playing the guitar. And then about 2 weeks later, he just kept going. You know, and I just gave up on catching up with that boy. So anyway, are you hearing me? Give thanks, sing praise, make declarations. Three simple things that if you'll remember every day, okay, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to be thankful, and I'm gonna sing some praises, even if it's just while you're in the shower. I'm bad to do that. And I grew up whistling. I used to hear people whistling all the time growing up. I don't hear it as much anymore. But just making joyful noise to the Lord, I guess. For you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Now, that verse 4 tells us, he's testifying here, I'm so happy, I'm glad about what God's doing, what I see Him doing. It tells us something about His perspective. And that's where this thanksgiving and that singing praises and making declarations is flowing from. He's got an attitude and perspective that is fixed on God and His works. We can live our life magnifying what God's doing and zeroing in on the good things that God's doing, or we can live our life magnifying what the devil's doing and always talking about what the devil's doing and zeroing in what the devil's doing. Let me tell you the preferred one is set your mind on things above, not on things here on the earth. Why? Because you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I heard that somewhere recently. All right, let's move on to the next section of Scripture, beginning with verse 5, Psalm 92. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. It's kind of somber, isn't it? But notice some things here. He's giving us some more declarations here. God's works are great. How many of you learned the little prayer growing up? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we must be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread, right? Well, that's a good Bible prayer. God is great. That's a good thing to teach your children. God's awesome. God's amazing. God's great. Keep adding the good adjectives on, and you'll never run out of enough of them to really describe Him. Okay? Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. I love how the New Living Translation translates verses 6 and 7. It says, only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. So God's thoughts are deep, and men are senseless and absolutely foolish to think that they can outthink God. And we're living in a day when sometimes ministers, professors, and teachers of the Scriptures know more than God knows, or they may espouse that. Well, I know the Bible says this, but really, what's that saying? Let me tell you something that the Lord hadn't told you. You know, let me explain this for God. No, we're being senseless and foolish to think that we can outthink God. That's just impossible. He's omniscient, all-knowing. We're not nearly as smart and clever, as witty as we think we are as human beings. I mean, just go out and look up at night, and that should be enough evidence. Because those stars, the moon, and in the daytime, the sun, they are testifying to how awesome and majestic God is. They are declaring His glory, His handiwork. After you've had a hard day's work, can you look up and see something you've done like that? He could just speak it, and there it is. No. He's awesome. His works are great. And we're foolish to think. We get too smart for our own britches. Reminds me of the story of the professor that was going to a speaking engagement, very important speaking engagement, and on the way he had a flat tire and he had to pull over on the side of the road. And he pulled over beside, it just happened to be like one of these mental asylums, and there was a big chain link fence, and there were some guys out there that were in the asylum, and they were just staring out the fence, and he had a flat tire. So he went around and he took the lugs off the tire, jacked the car up and took the lugs off the tire and laid them there in the hubcap and took the tire off and got the spare tire and put it on. Well, he bumped the hubcap and the nuts fell out of the hubcap and went down in the storm drain on the curb of the street. And he couldn't get them. They were gone. He said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm not going to make the meeting. What am I going to do? I don't have any lug nuts. I can't drive without that." And one of the guys that was supposed to have the problem thinking in the asylum says, "Well, tell you what I'd do. I'd take one nut off each of those other tires and just put it on that and go on down the road." So sometimes we're like that with the Lord sometimes. We think we are the smart ones, but no. He always knows more than we do. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And he says, when the wicked spring up like the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, there's that same word. The workers of iniquity flourish. They may flourish too, but it's a different kind of flourishing. It may look like, oh, they're doing good. Look at them. They're getting rich. Look at what they have. And here I am serving God, and it's like I'm struggling, and I'm not seeing anything happen. It looks like they got everything they want. They don't have any cares. They're having this big time. Don't have time to get into it, but you can read Psalm 73, because he had that very problem. And that the way it ended for him was, the Lord said, you need to consider their end. They may appear to be prospering and flourishing now, but there's a day coming. There's a day coming. And that's what the Scripture is telling us. You can't live an ungodly life and push God out of your life and think it's going to end well. It will not. There is a temporal flourishing. The Bible's very clear. Moses forsook the riches of Egypt. Oh, they had a lot of things that could have been his there, but it was incomparable when compared to what God would ultimately give him. Destruction is the end of a life lived without God. But God's position is eternally established. Verse 8. Let's read that. He says, "But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered." Excuse me. I had to sneeze. I'm up here in front of all you. But I had to sneeze. So now I'm going to go right back to preaching. Okay, now look, the Lord's position is established eternally. He's set on high forevermore. We might get on our high horse for a season, but He has established His throne forever, and it is eternally established. So it's the foolish, the simpleton, the senseless man that would set himself against God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You may have heard the story, the comparison between the first American astronauts when they went out into outer space, and they quoted the scripture and says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Everywhere they looked, they could see God. But when the Russian cosmonauts went into outer space, they braggingly said, we have searched the heavens, and there is no God. See, it's a matter of your perspective. Are we going to be so prideful and think that we somehow spontaneously generated ourselves, that we're responsible for our own being here? Or are we going to humble ourselves and say, no, there is a design to the whole universe, therefore there is a designer. It is obvious that certain things have been created when there was nothing to create them from. There has to be a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, but the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And notice it says that, behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. That word scattered, there's the idea of just, you know, like having a handful of marbles and just throwing them out there and they go in all different directions. Which means that before that happens, there's a false unity. You see this through the book of the Revelation, where the nations gathered together against the Lord and His Christ. But in a moment, they will be annihilated. And that's sad to ponder, but it's the truth of Scripture. There comes a time when the long-suffering God comes to its end. There comes a time when the day of salvation is over. And there comes a time when the wrath of Almighty God will be unleashed upon an unbelieving earth. Now, verse 10, this is the section that is that tells us where the psalmist starts talking about, you know, what God's doing for him. And he says, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. Any of you said that about yourself today? But this was the language of Bible days. He's basically saying, my strength, oh Lord, my strength, you made my strength like that of a wild ox. Now he's just talked about the enemies being scattered, and he goes on to say, I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. Notice he's saying, you know, I saw God deal with my enemies. He said, my ears can hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Remember, this is in a day of like King David, when the enemies were constantly surrounding and wanting to invade God's people and enslave them and scatter them. And he's declaring, no, God takes care of us, and He's taking care of our enemies for us. He says, my ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. So there's you a new declaration. Today God's going to make me as strong as a wild ox. I remember one time I was helping my dad-in-law, who always had a bunch of cows, and he had one he called Oh Crazy. I had her just a couple of years, but there was a reason she was called Oh Crazy. She would just go crazy. You get around her, she'd start bucking and kicking and run at you. And so we had them in the barn, and we're trying to get them out of the feeding area in the barn. We're running them out in the pen so we could do the pleasant thing of worming them and all that kind of stuff, you know, which he taught me how to do that. So everybody needs to worm a few cows. It's an exciting thing to do. And he was always trying to pull a prank or have a good laugh at my expense. So he said, he said, why don't you go in there and run Old Crazy out of the barn? And so I went in there, and I was getting the other cows out, but she didn't want to come out. And finally, I scooted in such a way, but I got in front of the door, and she decided she wanted to go out. while I was in front of the door. And I discovered, well, that she really wasn't wanting to go out. She was just wanting me. And I just happened to be in front of the door. And so she came, hit me with her head right here in the midsection. And now I'm riding her, you know, like hanging on to her ears. And she's doing like this and just flopping me like a rag doll. And I'm trying to get off. And she's trying to get me off, but all she was doing is throwing me up, and I was coming back down on her. And thank God it was before the days of YouTube. Because I would have been supplying comedy until Jesus came back through that YouTube. Finally, she shook me off, and Old Crazy was wild like an ox, you know. But you know what? The energy that Old Crazy had, I'm all for that, you know, that anointing, that power to break off the yoke of Satan, to break through, to pray and see things move out of the way because the strength of our Lord and His Christ is coursing through our being. Don't you want that? So my strength is like that of a wild ox. There's your new declaration. You can put that on your refrigerator. At least think about it when you drink a glass of milk. Okay, here we go. He says, He anoints me with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. That's a picture of refreshing. That's also the picture of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, spiritually speaking, coming upon us. Have you ever had one of those days, maybe, Pastor Doc, you've been working in the garden when it's 100 degrees like it is right now, or I remember growing up and my dad taking me to the coal mines, and I worked in the coal mines in my senior summer of high school, underground mines. And I mean, you get caked up with that old coal dust. Maybe you've had days like that where you just kind of caked up with dirt on. You've been working hard and sweaty. And it's so nice to come in and get under a shower, hot shower. And you get that scented shampoo and that scented conditioner. And then you maybe your scented shaving cream. Most of you ladies probably don't do that, but and then you get your cologne, you know. And I mean, it's refreshing. But spiritually, you know, maybe you've been in a season of warfare. Maybe you feel like you've been in the trenches. You've been warring. You've been digging hard. You've been in the grind. You've been spilling water everywhere. And you just need a refreshing. We've seen that here. We've seen people weary and this in a moment of prayer see the Holy Spirit just come upon them and refresh them. Maybe you've experienced that in your home. I remember a couple of months ago when we had a Sunday of refreshing here, one of our dear ladies was at home in her restroom online. And when it hit here, when it hit me on the pulpit, when it started happening in the congregation, she wasn't even here, but she testified that the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she fell into her floor in her bathroom and just started weeping. God does stuff like that. Well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, just pray for it and see if you like it or not. Okay. He anoints us with fresh oil. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit bringing refreshing to our lives when we are in need of such. And you may be in need of that tonight. This is how the NLT talks about how the Lord takes care of our enemies. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. God can bring those seasons of warfare to an end. He can silence the mouth of Satan at times. You know, Jesus went through 40 days of it, and then it says, but the devil left him for a season. You can have seasons when the devil's leaving you alone. And the Lord sends angels and ministers to you. Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, you can read about it there. Let's move on to the last section. We're going to end with this one. I like this one. It says in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. There's your another declaration. I'm going to flourish like a palm tree. Well, what's that mean? I'll talk about that in a moment. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Lebanon was known for their big cedars. Big, strong, stately cedars. So that's some beautiful imagery here. Let's read on. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. they shall still bear fruit in old age. That applies to some of y'all here. And I'm in your number. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. There's another good declaration. And it even says, to declare. You can declare that, and when you get it, then you can declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. One translation, there is no evil in Him. Let me start with that last phrase. There's no evil in God. Now, some Eastern religions, and you see this in Eastern cultures, that they have the yin-yang. Do you know what I'm talking about, yin-yang? 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 Think about that while I'm drinking. It is a circle. Half of it's black, kind of like a paramecium shape. They're interlocked. The other half's white. Okay? That's a picture of good and evil. But then, in the part that's black, you'll always see a little white circle in that black spot. And then the part that's white, you'll always see a little black circle in the white part. So that belief is good and evil coexist, and there's always some good in evil and always some evil in good. That's not Scripture. There is no evil in our God. Our God is good. So don't buy into that. That is a lie from the pits of hell, from the lips of Satan. Our God is holy. Our God is just. Our God is a God of wrath, a God of justice. He is holy and a God of love. Okay, so it's important for us to understand that there is no unrighteousness in Him. That's the reason you can always praise God. That's the reason you can always believe God. That's the reason you can always trust God. There's no unrighteousness in Him. He's incapable of not dealing righteously with you. He's not going to pull a caper on you. He's not going to betray you. He's not going to unleash evil from Himself to you because there is no evil in Himself. He may allow you to be tempted by the enemy. Your own choices may open you up to some things the enemy does. You may say yes to some of the enemy's invitation, but there is no evil, no unrighteousness in our God. That's important. Now, back up a bit in that scripture. It says, we shall flourish like a palm tree. The palm tree, interesting, I mentioned this earlier, and we were at the beach last week, and we had such a good time. But I'll be honest with you, if I was going to plant me a garden, I don't think I would plant it at the beach. I mean, how many people do you know, hey, I need you to bring in truckloads of sand, I'm going to plant me a garden. Now, you may bring in some sand and mix it in with topsoil, but you wouldn't think that you'd want to plant something and expect it to grow just in a pile of sand. But a palm tree can flourish in an environment where everything else dies, except certain kind of plants. And a palm tree is one of them. It can flourish in that. It can flourish with the strong ocean winds beating against it. It can flourish with a hot, scorching sun constantly bearing down upon it. It thrives in the middle of that. And so regardless of what's going on in this world, if we're planted in the house of the Lord, that He goes on to talk about, in the courts of our God, if that's where we're rooted and planted, we can flourish. The palm tree represents prosperity. I meant to bring it tonight. I've got a cane. It's a little bit different shape for a cane, and you hold it at the top like this, but it's made out of the heart of a palm tree. And Bob and Debbie Carlson gave it to me years ago. And it has a little leather thing engraved on it about how the palm tree speaks of prosperity. So that's another thing, that you can prosper in famine. And don't always see $100 bills when you hear that. If that's what you need to do what God's created you to do, it can be $100 bills. But true prosperity is much more than money. Let me tell you what it is in summation. Biblical prosperity means this. You can rest fully assured that God will supply what you need to do His will. That God will provide for you what you need to fulfill His plan for your life. To me, that's true prosperity. I can trust my Father to provide me with what I need. If I'm not careful, my own greed can get me to push it in wrong directions. If I'm not careful, I can get into error and misunderstanding and get under a spirit of poverty and refuse blessings that the Lord may want to bring in my life. But the balance place is, I'm going to be planted in the house of the Lord. I'm going to seek those things that are above and know that my Father is Jehovah Jireh. He will supply my every need. And we can declare with the psalmist in Psalm 1, I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that whose roots go deep, that my leaf shall not wither, and whatever I do shall prosper. You see, being planted in the right place. And here he says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So, what are you sinking down your roots in? We're even told earlier here that God's thoughts are deep. So your roots, we need to go down into the Word. They can go down into deep, into the revelation of God. Be grounded on who God is and what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. And live our life from that place. And it will help us. And we'll be like that palm tree that endures in very adverse circumstances. And he talks about the cedar. And we think of cedar as an evergreen tree. You'll grow like a cedar. In other words, we can experience perpetual growth in our life. It would be wrong for us as church to issue certificates saying, okay, you have read the Bible through. You've heard 5 years of Pastor Eddie's teaching. And we're going to give you a certificate. You have now arrived. You know everything you need to know. You better red X that right off. Because as long as you're breathing, you need to be learning. We need to have the humility of heart to always be willing to be taught and to learn. So that we can grow. And that's the thing like the cedar tree that can grow perpetually. We want to be changed daily until Jesus comes back. And then in a moment we'll become like Him fully. That's going to be awesome. And that same idea carries into this verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. There's a good refrigerator verse for we who may be older than some others. Right? Your fruit-bearing years are not over. Now, you may not be able to have a child any longer, but you still can bear fruit. And the New Testament teaches us that the fruit that's really important is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament teaches us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit basically are the attributes of Jesus Christ that are manifested in our life when we are living for Him. Love, joy, and peace, and goodness, and kindness and faithfulness and long-suffering and self-control. These things are the fruit we can bear in old age. So we do not have to accept that we're going to become grumpy because we're growing older. No, we're going to give thanks. We're going to sing praises. We're going to make declarations. And we're going to be planted in the house of the Lord. While you're here on Wednesday night, that's a pretty good sign. And then we're going to flourish and we're going to bear fruit in old age. And we'll be able to declare, my God is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. Lord, may this be true in each of our lives tonight. May this word find a dwelling place in our hearts. May we declare it out of our mouths. May we see the results of it in our lives. Lord, thank you for reminding us out of this song, out of the Old Testament, these wonderful truths that can help us to be fresh and flourishing. Lord, we don't want to be stale and withering. We want to be fresh and flourishing. Would you just bow your heads for a moment and pray into this as the Lord leads you? I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members, those of you that are scheduled to be here, some of our staff to come and just be here to pray for anyone who may have need of prayer tonight. Maybe the Lord's touched an area of your heart, challenged you in some way, encouraged you in some way, convicted you in some way. You're invited. If you need to pray, you can come to these altars and pray. And if we'll go ahead and stand, I'd like to ask our prayer team members, some of our staff to come on up right now if you would. Just be here to pray with people. Anybody that might need prayer, love for some of you to be on each side here. If you have need of prayer, just step out from where you are and come right now. Or if you'd like to pray right where you are, just continue in a spirit of prayer. Apply this word to your heart tonight. It might be, Lord, I need a refreshing. Lord, I want to be one of those who's flourishing. Lord, I want your spirit manifesting in my life. I want your fruit adorning my life. Do you need to come? Anyone else? We're going to worship just a moment before the amen. Give you the opportunity to respond. Let's praise Him. Let's sing His praises. Feel free to come. Let's sing His praises, saints. Worthy one. May the Lord's grace be upon your lives this week. May His peace guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I say grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling, the one who saves us by His blood, keeps us by His power, unto Him be glory throughout all ages, world without end, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here with us on this Wednesday. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Pray for our Vacation Bible School. Come out on Saturday morning, and we'll be praying for the sick. Love you all. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand.